Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Labyrinths in the News. Today is the 23rd day of the Crystal Rabbit Moon of Cooperation, Seli Root Chakra, White Solar Wizard Day. The affirmation is, I pulse in order to enchant. Realizing receptivity, I seal the output of timelessness with the solar tone of intention. I am guided by the power of heart. It's also Gregorian calendar, Monday, June 21st, 2010, summer solstice. I'm your host, Christiana, coming to you live from the Couve. That's Vancouver, Washington, across the river from Portland, Oregon. And as I will be doing usually every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Today it's earlier because my guest hails from Toronto, Canada. My lead-in music is the first cut, Icos, short for icosahedron, the water symbol in sacred geometry, off of Susan Alexander's CD, Sequentia. If any of you want to chat while we are on the air, please go to Christiana-Anea at blogtalkradio.com. My guest today is Irma Haggis. She's from Toronto. She owns a company called Amaze Your Mind Labyrinth Solutions that sells labyrinth finger walking boards, and she also gives labyrinth presentations and workshops in the Toronto area. Thank you, Irma, for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, hello? You sound like you're... Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
You're welcome. I think there's probably a little delay, so So I'll stop a little bit. So let me just jump in there. You're from Toronto, and I am assuming, are you a full-blooded Canadian, born and raised there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, tell us a bit about your background. My viewers like to know how people have found the labyrinth in their lives and how they've come to incorporate it into their lifestyle and usually their work and their passion. So what is your background and your experience?
Well, my background has been predominantly retail in my working career, but one day while I was working in a mall as a manager of an optical store, I ran across a book on labyrinths on a sale table. I read it from cover to cover and started doing research online. Through that, I met Robert Ferret of Labyrinth Enterprises in St. Louis and traveled with him to Chartres, France. And the saying amongst labyrinth enthusiasts is not that you find the labyrinth, but rather that the labyrinth actually finds you. And that's what I find when I try to introduce people to the labyrinth. They either resonate with it or they don't. So it's interesting to see how, and like you say, how individuals find the labyrinth. It just spoke to me, and I just couldn't get enough of it and kept searching to find out more and more.
Are there lots of labyrinths in the Toronto area?
I don't know that there's lots. The event tonight is being hosted at the High Park Labyrinth. It's a beautiful park in Toronto. And there's one at the Eaton Center, Trinity Square downtown. There's one on the Toronto Island outside of the little church with a big tree in the center of it. And there are numerous United churches that have labyrinths either indoors or outdoors. They understand it, and their retreat centers have them as well.
Okay. And United Churches, those are a combination of UU and I know there's a, it's a combination of the ones that are not united here, right?
That it's, I do not know.
Okay, it's a, I think it's a Unity and Universal Unitarian Universalists, because I know we had a discussion about this years ago, and it, they are very receptive. And I, as a matter of fact, I do my labyrinth work at a UU church right down the street. So tell me, you sent me pictures of a double finger labyrinth that you sell, and mm-hmm. It's a labyrinth board. And then you had two pictures taken at the Total Health Show in Toronto this year that are before and after Carillion photographs of your aura. So tell us a little bit about these finger-walking labyrinth boards and what these pictures represent.
Well, the double labyrinth board is what I focus mostly on teaching people about and selling, because it's a left- and right-handed finger-walking board. These are predominantly made in the States in wood, MDF. One lady in Michigan makes them in plastic. But they're not that big in terms of getting it out to the media, what they are and what they can do for people. For instance, they can be very beneficial for people with ADD. Now, what I've been looking for is trying to find proof that what Neil Harris in the States says they do, he uses them in his work and his therapy and is currently conducting an ADD study. I'm looking for proof that they actually help to balance the left and right brain. And I did this so far through the aura photograph that I had done at the Total Health Show. In the first photograph, you can see that the energy colors of green and gold and orange are all lined up on my right-hand side. After walking this double labyrinth board, I did it three times because I was really tired that day. It was the last day of the show. And I had the photograph taken again, and the colors had literally redistributed to the other side. So they were almost equal on both sides of my body. And I thought, oh, finally, I have proof. And it's something when I show people the pictures and explain what it is, they get it. The other proof I got was through a chiropractor that using kinesiology proved that it actually balanced the brain by using those kinesiology muscle connections. And he showed us, this was just a sort of a family group thing, and showed us that it worked that way too. So I'm still looking for other ways to prove it, but at least the aura pictures are one way that I can physically prove that, yes, it works.
Have you, were you able to get anyone else, anybody else that came from your around your booth to take the pictures before and after too, so you have more people? More pictures?
No, not yet. I'm looking into getting other people to do that. At the moment, it's expensive to do that. I mean, these pictures are not cheap to do. The photographic stuff to do it is very expensive. You know, $5,000-$6,000 maybe. So it's not a cheap thing to do. So yes, I'd like to get other people to take their photos, but I haven't gotten there yet.
But, is it a possible grant topic for a grant? It certainly would seem to me to be.
It might be. I mean, I've got the boards currently in Montessori schools around the Toronto area because the Montessori teachers get it as soon as I show them. Oh, balance left and right brain and good for the kids to use? Sure. And they're putting them in the classrooms for the kids to use when the kids feel they need that sort of downtime. I think it's Reverend Lauren Artress that coined the phrase, instead of giving kids a time out, they give them a time in with a labyrinth, because that's literally what it allows you to do. It allows you to have a time in with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me that, I mean, I know there are many people through the Labyrinth Society that would be very interested in what you're doing. Because we definitely want to see this kind of study take place with either the kinesiology aspect and or the aura aspect, the two of them combined. I mean, it would be a huge benefit, I think. What type of labyrinths are they that are actually on the boards?
It's actually just the classic seven circuit labyrinths. And you're definitely giving me some ideas. You know, I never thought about a government grant to do a study, but it would definitely be a great idea. Actually, I want to do my thesis on the labyrinth to get my designation from the university in Sedona. And the other thing I did was I took the boards to an ADD clinic, and they hooked up a volunteer to see if he could get some proof that way, but it wasn't concrete enough for him to say yes, it did, or no, it didn't. But he was very intrigued by what the labyrinth did as the person was walking it.
It's possible that that kind of, it might take a few more times. Like how many times,
yes.
You know, this is all things that you would have to put down. How many times did they walk it, you know, and what's, maybe you have to walk it 3 or 4 times before you see that. Whereas with the aura, it's probably pretty quickly clear. Although
yes.
You did say you'd use your hand, your fingers 3 times,
yes.
and then had the picture taken again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is fascinating, and it's certainly now, especially with this type of photography that you can use to, and then you have the kinesthesiology that is being very much used in so many ways and so many venues.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem to be a perfect match to verify all of this that we've been saying for years, all of us who walk labyrinths and think, you know, we think more clearly, we think better, we're more aware and awake when we get off of them, and we've been all saying it for years, we know the benefits. But so this is wonderful. What other labyrinth products does your company sell?
Well, I have a single version of the 7 circuits. Somebody can put it up on an easel in their office, and I have several people doing that with the double ones. I have a 12x12 Chart labyrinth, which is the 11th circuit one. And I have a 10x22 inch, what I call a client-to-therapist board, that therapists, counselors, coaches will use in their therapy. I actually sold one recently to a therapist from Bermuda who actually came back from Bermuda to pick it up. He uses it in his therapy, and even one of his clients called me and ordered one, and it's already been sent to the client. So that's what I've got so far on the mix. I actually have, and they're not on my website yet, I have the Reiki symbols and the Peace and Om symbols in the white corion. Corion is what they're made out of. Just like the white double board, sort of almost the same sizes.
Okay, so you have to explain this a little bit further. You said, tell me about the first thing that you said, the labyrinth. Is that a canvas labyrinth?
No, these are all made, they're carved into corion, which is a countertop material. It's antibacterial and antifungal, so it's perfect for schools, for hospitals, for therapists, because you don't have to worry about germs growing on them.
Okay, so how big, okay, so tell me about the therapist board. Is that, how is that made? What does that look like?
Well, it's the white board that I sent you a picture of, the little finger-walking double one that is left and right.
Yeah.
It's a larger version of that where the labyrinth is pointed to, like it would be two people sitting across from each other, and the labyrinth is pointing to the therapist, and the other labyrinth is pointing to the client, and they use them simultaneously. I sold my first one to a hypnotherapist here in Toronto who actually used it as an affirmation board with her husband and anchored the energy of a positive affirmation just using it with her husband.
And what made you even come up with that idea?
Well, it's again, this is nothing new. It's out there. It's being done. I just wanted to do it in, originally I was going to do it in a plastic, but the corion just happened by accident. And ever since I've gone down that road, it's like I don't want to look back because the material is perfect because of the antibacterial properties.
Who makes these?
I have a friend of a friend. I was actually in a government program to start the business. And in the program, I have my graphic artist that did my graphic design for my business cards, and it's her boyfriend that actually does the boards for me. He has a cabinet manufacturing facility in Maple, Ontario, so that's who's doing the boards.
Fascinating. Now, I know a lot about, and I've met a lot of people through my show here, but I've never heard of this type of board being used for with therapists. So you said it was an affirmation board that one of the therapists used, but in a therapy setting,
mm-hmm.
Why would the therapist bring this out with a client?
Well, what it does, and you know this yourself from walking them, what it naturally does is it opens people up. So if a hypnotherapist is using it, it opens up the client to suggestology, to suggestibility, which they use when they're trying to get somebody to go under. When you're using it, and I found this accidentally myself, using it as a coaching and tool, coaching and counseling tool after I did readings for people. I would find out what issues and behaviors they had going on that they wanted to let go of, and I had a labyrinth that was actually a rug from IKEA that I would use with clients, and I would coach them through the labyrinth, and they would come to their own ahas. With the client and therapist board, it's really just facilitating the client to calm down and open up to conversation with the therapist. So it's just the natural innate ability of the labyrinth being used by somebody that sort of knows what to do with it and how to use it through their training and their background, and it just opens you up to converse about whatever it is you might need to talk about with that therapist.
I see. Do you now, is the corian much different to work with than, say, a wooden board?
To me, it is. It's highly polished, so it's very smooth to the touch. I actually gifted a whiteboard also to a healer that's traveled all over the world, and he's meditated with it in the temples in Egypt and Turkey and Israel and whatnot. So that energy is also in the board, so it's kind of neat when you use them and you touch them. Some people actually feel this. Because the material just seems to, being white and a symbol of purity, and the material is not toxic, so it's not putting any pollutants into the air. It's resurfaceable, so if you scratch it or anything like that, it can be resanded and back to the smooth original way it was when you got it. So it's green in that respect as well. So it's a great material because it's so smooth to the touch.
And how much does it weigh? How much does one of the boards weigh?
The white board weighs about 1 pound.
Oh, that's very light. It's pretty light.
Well, it's light. Huh. I mean, it's probably about as heavy as a wood board would be, about at a half inch thick.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you also said that you facilitate experiential labyrinth events.
Yes.
Now, your company is AmazeYourMindLabyrinthSolutions.com. Is that the website?
No, it's AmazeYourMindLabyrinths, so labyrinth, the word labyrinth with an S on it, .com.
Okay, AmazeYourMindLabyrinths.com. Okay,
yes.
And it says AmazE, YourMindLabyrinths.com. Okay,
yes.
Great. Just wanted to clear that up.
Thank you.
So tell me about the experiential labyrinth events with your chakra labyrinth.
Well,
is canvas, correct?
Yes, it's painted on canvas with the colors of the chakras, and again, it's a simple seven-circuit labyrinth. What I find when it's used in a facilitated setting, people that walk it, as they maybe stumble or stop at certain points, it's looking down at the color. Well, what color are you sitting in? Is it red? Is it yellow? Is it orange? So you have to look at that part of your body, that chakra, and think about, well, what's going on with me in that chakra? Those of you that know the chakras, if it's green, what's going on in your heart? If it's blue, what is going on in your throat? Is there something you're not saying that maybe you need to say? So you reflect it back to your chakras and reflect it back to yourself.
And did you create this labyrinth yourself? Did you paint it yourself? And how did you buy
no,
this? Or?
No, I bought it. I bought it. Another lady that I know that was into labyrinths at the time. I'd actually borrowed it from her and eventually purchased it from her because I had it so long. I thought I better buy it.
And does she make them as a business?
No, she does not.
But it sounds like it. That's also something that people would really like very much.
Yes.
So that, because I know I've worked with chakras on my own labyrinth, and it would be very helpful to have the paths actually colored.
Yes.
It would be very beneficial, I think.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This one is only 8 feet wide. It's small. It's only 8 feet wide.
Wow, so you can put it pretty much down in the middle of your living room, or if you clear away some things or something. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Easy to. Do you work with sound and the chakras as well when you're doing this?
Not yet. I'm actually working on putting together a goddess workshop. I've been working with the labyrinth and the art of receiving, and want to blend the labyrinth, the art of receiving, into some kind of a workshop where women can sort of reclaim their goddess self. And I'm hoping that sound will be a part of that. I have several people that I know that do sound work. I work with a sound worker myself. I'm sort of his sounding board. So definitely sound is a part of it. Right now I've been using music, and it's interesting how that unfolds.
And give me some examples of that. What do you mean?
Well, there's a beautiful song by Barbara Streisand. She has an album called Sacred Ground, and there's a song about the lessons you learn on the path you take and whatnot. So there's a couple of songs on that album. And when I was doing the Edgar Cayce workshop where I talked about the Akashic Records and the labyrinth, it was funny, and I actually borrowed a friend's labyrinth. It's much larger, so it fills a whole room. And we had about 20, 25 people walking it. And I was using this music, but there was one person walking it sort of at the end, and I was playing around with the music. And I ended up putting on, by accident, the song, You Will Not Walk Alone. You'll Never Walk Alone, that song.
Mm-hmm.
And the person actually brought it to our attention when we were sharing at the end of the workshop. She said, I was walking it alone, and then you put that song on. And I thought, oh, my God. It was just spirit leading me to put that song on for her, not thinking of the connection that she was actually walking the labyrinth alone, and I put this song on, You'll Never Walk Alone. And I was like, oh, my goodness. It was just one of those, whoa.
Yeah. Do you, you said you were getting your master or your graduate degree or doctorate. What is your background, and how is this connected to the labyrinth? I mean, are you doing, you're using the labyrinth in your own workshop work?
I do, and I want to, and I have several times in events used either the boards or the actual canvas labyrinth in the work I do. When I lived in Oregon for 6 months a couple of years ago, I did a sort of a correspondence course through the University of Sedona. The first designation you get is that of a minister. The second designation is your bachelor. I got a BA in New Thought Coaching. And then the third is if you write your thesis, you get your master's, which I have it quasi-done, but it's this piece of the puzzle that I'd really like to get the proof to be able to insert into the thesis to say, this is what it does and I can prove it, you know, type of thing. And that's why it's sort of not complete yet.
I getcha. So you mentioned the Edgar Cayce Conference. Where did that take place?
That takes place in Kingston, Ontario, once a year, usually around May. They have speakers come up from Virginia Beach, which are amazing. And different people go there at their own cost to facilitate workshops, just to expose people to different things that are out there. Because Edgar Cayce was known as a sleeping prophet and using the Akashic Records, that's why I've been invited. But I bring the labyrinth along for the ride, so it's a little bit of both that people get.
And what are the Akashic Records?
The Akashic Records are the blueprint of your life, who you are, why you're here, and what you're meant to be doing with your life. If you believe in reincarnation, then you sort of know the idea of writing the script for your life before you get here, who your parents are going to be, who your siblings are going to be, maybe some of your aunts and uncles. but also who are going to be the catalysts that you're going to meet along the path that you journey in life that are going to maybe shift you, change you into maybe a different path or a different job or a different relationship. So, you know, people always want to know, well, what was the significance of my relationship with X, you know, that type of thing. Am I on the right path? If not, what do I need to do? If I have blockages, how do I clear them, that type of thing.
And how are these records accessed?
They're accessed through the use of a sacred prayer. And just like the Lord's Prayer clears your chakras and is a source for you to connect with God, so too is this prayer to connect with the source of the knowledge where the Akashic records are contained. We call it the Masters and Teachers. And you use this prayer and the vibration of the person's name that you're doing the reading for. And just like any other energetic work, you never, ever do it without permission. So that name vibration gets you into their records.
Oh, I see. The first name only or both?
The full name. Full name. If they have a middle name, full name, the name they're currently resonating with. So if they're married and they're not using their maiden name, that's the name we use.
Oh, I gotcha. Is this done, now do you do this on the labyrinth or you do this separate from the labyrinth?
Well, I do it, if I'm in the case of a show or something, I do both. Like I either have the fingerboards and I do readings with people. If it's a phone consultation, then the labyrinth has nothing to do with it because I can do readings over the phone. The person does not have to be in front of me because energetically I'm already connecting with them.
I see. So at this conference, at the Edgar Cayce conference, what labyrinth did you bring with you?
It's Debbie Danbrook, who is a musician. She has a labyrinth, and it's about 24 feet. It's 24, maybe 30 feet. It's a painted canvas labyrinth as well, and it's beautiful.
What style? What
kind? It's the Chart. Or sorry, no, it's not the Chart. It's the Seventh Circuit.
Seventh Circuit. Is it the
classic.
Petite Chart? Does it? Oh, classic.
No, it's a classic.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Okay.
Just a large one.
So how did you do, did you do a workshop first and talk about the Akashic Records and then have people walk the labyrinth afterward? How was it set up?
I had to divide the time up where we gave a little bit of time to the Akashic Records and then we gave a little bit of time to the labyrinth. So it was more information about the Akashic Records, what they are, how they're accessed and that type of thing, and then information about what labyrinths are, how old they are, where do they come from, and that type of thing. And then at the end, we allowed time for people to walk the labyrinth. So I sort of have to divide the time up. And the feedback I get from the conference survey forums are, well, we want more of this, or we want more of this. So I'm thinking, okay, next year maybe I better do one separate on this and one separate on that because they want more, which is a good thing.
yeah, very much so. So tell me a little bit about your own personal experiences now. You do these readings for people, and I guess you've walked quite a bit of different labyrinths. What was it like in Shark for you?
Oh, that was the most magical, amazing experience of my life. It was 30 people from all over the world. Didn't know each other, but the labyrinth, you know, is the reason that we were there. Robert Foray, who's one of the foremost labyrinth makers in the States, he was a facilitator of this event, along with John James, who's an author of The Architects and the Masons of the Labyrinths, or of the cathedrals in Europe and whatnot. And they took us on a tour of the cathedral from up on the roof with John James to the basement and through the upper level of the cathedral with the windows and whatnot with Robert. And we were there on a day where we had the ability, because we were such a large group, to have the labyrinth cleared just for us. I don't know if you know this, but the labyrinth is normally covered with chairs and shark, and it's only uncovered one day of the week on a Friday for the public to walk. So we were there, I think, on the Monday or Tuesday, and we got to walk as a group. And what they did is they outlined the labyrinth with votive candles all the way around it. And then we got to come up through the basement up and see this beautiful sight as we, you know, approached it, because it's quite dark. Even with daylight, there's not a lot of light coming into the cathedral. So it was like breathtaking. And then Bruno, who was the keeper of the keys, said, "Do you want to go up to the organ loft?" Because he knew we were shutterbugs and liked to take pictures. So we got to walk up about three or four stories to this organ loft and look down on the labyrinth with this bird's eye view, watching these people walking it with the magical, you know, the rhythm of the labyrinth, that back and forth motion that almost looks like a Swiss clock movement. And it was just magical. And then we walked it ourselves. It was just one of those events that you never will forget.
Right, right. So tell us some other experience that you've had with your own boards or walking at different times. Do you have anything that stands out that you'd like to share? I like hearing from people in Canada because then we get to know, okay, there's lots going on there too, just as much as here in the United States.
Yes. What I love about the labyrinth is how much of a metaphor it is for our lives and how we live. And to me, this was demonstrated one day when I was walking a labyrinth downtown Toronto. And, you know, some people, you know, take it seriously and walk the paths, and others don't. So I was walking it one day, and these young guys came in, and they started walking it initially with some intention and, you know, following the path. And then one of the young guys, I guess, got kind of, you know, oh, okay, bored with this. I'm going to, you know, go out. So he started skipping over the lines and went out. And I said to him as he jumped past me, I said, "How many times do you take shortcuts in your life?" And he just sort of looked at me, not realizing what he was demonstrating to me by his actions. So it's just the labyrinth has this magical ability to just reflect back to you who you are, what you're doing, why you're doing it. It's just like if we open ourselves up to think about that as we walk, it's such an amazing tool. I had a lady that just got back from France, and I told her about the day to go, and I told her how it's a metaphor for her life. And I didn't want to tell her too much because I wanted her experience to be hers. And she told me when she was walking in the shark labyrinth, in the very beginning, she was stumbling over her feet. And she says, "I remember you telling me that it's a metaphor for your life." And she reflected that back, and she says, "Well, then it must mean when I was born and I was learning to walk and all this stuff." So she could see how the labyrinth was from birth, you know, through. Mm-hmm. So it's just such a unique and amazing tool.
So your facility, there's a drumming, solstice drumming event in Toronto tonight, and you said it's on the labyrinth there in the park or nearby, or?
Well, I think the labyrinth is going to be part of it. We'll probably encircle the labyrinth, those of us that are there. This drum has traveled all over the world. It's representing peace. Apparently the intention is to bring the situation of Mother Earth herself to the attention of people as the drum travels. It's being brought to the event tonight through a shaman out of Toronto here, Jeanette McCullough, I think is her name.
And it's a powwow drum or a Native American powwow drum, or what kind of drum is it?
It looks like a Native frame drum that they make. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And is this something you do on every solstice anyway? And then, but this is special with this drum, or?
I think this is special this year with this drum. They already had the event downtown Toronto at the Trinity Labyrinth today at noon with medieval music. That's every year or every time there's a solstice they do that. This is different tonight because of the World Drum being here. We also have here in Mississauga the Jade Buddha that's also traveling around the world for universal peace. So I think it's kind of interesting that both the World Drum is here and the Jade Buddha at the same time.
Yeah, very much. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a big, huge, a huge day. You know, Arval Looking Horse has asked, and the 13 Indigenous grandmothers have asked to pray for the earth and on the solstice, and it's so we're all doing that everywhere. So,
oh, excellent.
It's a very important thing. So, tell me, you know, just for your opinion, how long have you been working with the Labyrinth, and have you seen a shift in the public's perception of this tool over the time that you've been working with the Labyrinth?
I think people are becoming slowly awakened that there is a tool out there that they can use to be one with themselves or be one with Source. I think very much so in this high-speed, multitasking world that we live in, people are looking for something to be able to be calmer and clearer, and the Labyrinth provides that.
Keep going.
No, okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. I think people are just becoming more receptive. When I was living in the States, I was amazed at how prevalent labyrinths are in schools and hospitals, and they just seem to be everywhere. So I'm hoping that in Canada that schools, churches, hospitals, clinics, et cetera, start, you know, wakening up and realizing that this is such a great tool and that they should be with them in these places.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if there's a way that we can facilitate getting this information to you there so that, you know, the labyrinths will proliferate in Canada as well as just as much as they do down here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know you can go through the Labyrinth Society information there, their website, and also through Robert Ferre's website.
Yes.
And get information, but it really takes people just saying, okay, I want to do this for my school or my church or my, you know, town or whatever, I guess.
Yeah. Well, if they were in schools, can you imagine a tool that helps with conflict resolution and problem solving in schools? What about corporations? What a great tool.
Yeah. So what are you currently working on? What's to be expected from you in the near future in the Toronto area? And speaking of new projects.
Well, hopefully places where I can at least speak and facilitate events where I can educate people about, you know, this amazing tool and help them to understand that it's something that they can use at home or they can find in their, you know, neighborhood and use it. The Goddess Workshop is something that I'm being drawn to do, and I'm hoping that eventually it'll, you know, start as a one-day workshop and maybe work into a, you know, a full weekend workshop. So that's basically where I'm at now. It's just looking for ways to get the word out and get people connected with the Labyrinth. That's my really, you know, main focus.
And so when you come up with a workshop idea,
mm-hmm.
you want to talk about a little bit about this right now. Because we still have a little bit of time. You come up with a workshop idea, and then what are the steps that you take in terms of, like, the Goddess Workshop? Are you putting this information on your website? How do you – what are the steps? What's the process that you go through to make this happen?
Well, the process right now is just getting a rough outline down on paper. I've got several people that will be helping me with this, and if one can't, I've got, you know, other people I can draw on. It's really, once the energy is out in the universe, it's interesting how things happen. I went to this lady's home to meet with her and talk about the possibility, showed me her property, said we can do it out here. She's got, you know, lots of room to do an outdoor labyrinth. You know, I can set one down in rope or whatever. We can use her home. And when I went back to my car, there was a penny laying on the seat of my car, and it wasn't there when I got out of the car, and I'm like, okay. So mm-hmm. to me, that was a symbol of the universe saying, you're on the right track, keep going. And since then, I found a couple more pennies. And then I was walking the other day, out for a walk near here, past a lady having a garage sale, and she had out what looked like Barbie dolls. And I thought, oh, okay. And I kept walking. And then as I'm walking, intuition says, no, you can use them in your workshop. And I went, oh. So I went back, and she ended up giving me all these Barbie dolls in this case. And I thought, what a great tool to have in a goddess workshop. Can you imagine a circle of women and passing around Barbie dolls? You know, where did our, you know, things, where did this thing start with our bodies and looking at our bodies and tearing ourselves apart start? Was it with Barbie? You know, so it's
the
like
image,
universe,
our images of ourselves.
Exactly. So it's like, okay, the universe is, you know, it's just like things are just keep coming to me and falling in my lap. I'm like, okay, obviously you want me to do this workshop.
Well, and then how do you publicize it? What do you do?
Well, I probably put it up on my website. I'm also on Facebook. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm also on Healing International and selfgrowth.com. So as things formulate, I'll post them on all those places. The lady, you know, that I'm going to be doing it at her home at, she lives out in a place called Acton, which is not close here. It's about an hour away. But, you know, just between myself and the friends I have, just talking about it, I've already got people that want to come. So I think once the word spreads, it's going to happen, and I'm going to, you know, start getting a following. And be what I want to do is be able to take it on the road. And, you know, once we, you know, sort of get it down pat to what's happening and what the order of things are and how it works all in synchronicity together, then take it on the road and give other people the chance to be exposed to it as well.
Well, it's, you know, you sound like so many other labyrinth people that I talk to, and myself included. I mean, I am literally involved in creating a workshop, and I want to do the same thing. How funny is that? And when I'm listening to you, I'm going, I could be me,
yeah.
You know, except that I don't give readings on the Akashic Records. I know about them, and I know it, and dearly love Edgar Cayce. But it's so fascinating that that this time that we're living in is, it's not just about chaos and dissension and war. It's also about this awakening that we're all experiencing, and how wonderful it is that we can be involved with it in this way.
Yes.
Through labyrinths. You know,
yeah.
It's really a blessing. It's such a blessing. And we're all being called to do a similar thing. We want to take it out there. We want it to get out to people and share it.
Mm-hmm.
So I am fascinated with that chakra labyrinth. And seriously, because I think it's great that it's painted and it's small enough that it can be spread out quickly and easily.
Want me to make you one.
Well, I do sound work and healing work, and so I would very much be interested in that kind of thing. So if you ever do create that as a product on your website, let me know, because I think it's a great product.
Great, thank you.
And, yeah, probably would be very well received.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I hope you have your labyrinth and your information through TLS and whatever in any way. And please keep encouraging people that you know who have labyrinths to put their labyrinths up on the TLS, on the Worldwide Labyrinth Locator.
Yes, yes.
Because it really is very helpful.
Yes.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to talk about in terms of your labyrinths? We have just about a minute, and then we're pretty much out of time, but I don't have any callers. But it's been great talking to you today, and
that's
I'm so thrilled. And please let other people know up there of this show, and let them know that I would love – there we go. I'd love to have them on the show.
Okay.
If they want to talk about their labyrinth work, and nothing is too, I've had all sorts of different kinds of people talking about what they do, artists and healers and therapists and thespians and you name it. So please encourage people to email me and so it's, let's just end with this. It's been a great day. And I look forward to your future reading of your interesting work, and I hope this works out with the scientific pursuit, because I think that's so great. I think the whole idea of the aura and the kinesiology, and if that works out, that would be really an important thing to share with people.
Great.
So thank you so much for joining me today. It is my intention to enlighten Labyrinth neophytes and support Labyrinth veterans with guests like you who provide a depth of information and personal experience not available through other sources. Many, many blessings on your path.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Labyrinth in the News, in the Life category on blogtalkradio.com with your host, Christiana. Please join me Monday, June 28th, when my guest will be Hillary Crocker, who will talk about using the Labyrinth as a container for social change, and celebration using grief and empowerment work. And that will be the last session that I will do for a while. I am taking July off to work solely on the PR for the next TLF gathering and to make sure that that comes off as well as we can possibly make it. And then I will be starting up again in August. So stay tuned for my first show in August. I will have one more show this month, and then the next one will be the first Monday in August. So have a blessed week. In Lakesh.